You're listening to All in a Day here on CBC Radio 1, 91.5 in Ottawa. Now, just over a year ago, Danny Donders picked up her camera and vowed to take one picture a day for the next 365 days. This was a way to stretch her photography skills, give her something to write about on her blog, Postcards from the Mothership. Now, All in a Day checked in with Danny at the halfway point back in July, and now, just a few days ago, she finished her goal with photo number 365. Danny Donders joins me in the studio. Hello there.
Hello, it's a pleasure.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
What was picture number 365?
It was me lying on the floor. I had tied the camera to the chandelier, so it was a looking down shot of me lying on my pictures arranged into the number 365, or at least some of my pictures.
Was this the first time the camera had been tied to the chandelier?
It was, actually, yes. And now that I've mentioned it on the radio, it may be the last time I ever take a picture if my husband finds out about it, but yes.
Just pictured how often now everything in the house has become a prop one way or another.
Yeah. Definitely. After 365, I was running short on inspiration. So, hey, how about top down? There we go.
Well, actually, I wondered about that because there's around number 259,
okay,
actually, in the when I was going through. Do you remember?
I'm doing the mental check here. Where are we going with this?
Number 259 was acorns.
In fact, yes.
You're taking this fantastic little shot of acorns. And yeah, you wrote, there is no way before my 365 project I ever would have spent my lunch hour looking under, I'm paraphrasing here,
yes,
but looking under
exactly
oak trees trying to find an acorn. Yep. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Around number 200, I don't want to call it stress, but the nervousness you had about finding
the abject
objects?
Lack of inspiration on some days. Yeah, let's talk about that. Yeah, it's not always easy. I mean, some days I could take 100 pictures. Pictures throw themselves at me. And there are other days when I could take 150 pictures and hate every single one of them. And
right,
I'd be completely lost and frustrated. So, yeah, I think that's my only sort of negative feeling from the project was those moments of tension of, I'm not going to get a picture today. I'm going to have to post something that I'm not happy with. And I didn't like that.
Yeah, we should clarify that because it's not, you didn't go out and take 365 photos total.
Nope.
These were 365 photos that people saw.
That's right.
How many photos do you think were taken altogether?
I counted. My Nikon shows me that I had made 16,000 shutter clicks in 365 days. So that's a few more than that. I guess my standards got higher and higher as the project went along.
Did you because the opposite could have happened too.
Yes.
You know, where suddenly as you go, fine, the acorns, let's just take them.
Yeah, that's right. Or here's shot number 292 of my toes pointing at the sofa at the TV set. Yeah.
Did you? But you found you were pushing yourself more.
Yeah, I really did. I didn't expect to. I really just wanted to take snapshots to document the year. But I fell in with a group on Flickr, which is where I was sharing my pictures, and the people who were reading on the blog. And they really encouraged me sort of to a higher level. And I started looking at other people's photos and wanting to emulate them. And so it wasn't just enough to post a picture. It wasn't enough to settle anymore. It had to be a good picture. And my own definition of good got more and more and more stringent as the project went along.
Tell me about that. What did the definition become?
Well, because I guess I learned a lot about photography. I mean, I've had a pretty good background in photography before. I like taking pictures. But the more I read, the more I realized what photography could be. It just didn't have to be a picture, but it had to mean something. You know, okay, so here's a picture of Thomas the Tank Engine, because I have three little kids. But why Thomas the Tank Engine? What is this photo saying? And when I started doing that to myself, oh boy, I was in trouble.
Tell me about the Thomas the Tank Engine photo. What did it start saying to you?
Well, the first one, I took one back early in the project and a good friend of mine commented. She says, I like this picture. You know, it's nice. Photographically, it's got the rule of thirds and everything else. It just doesn't speak to me. So then one of the last pictures I took was of my two-year-old, and the focus is on the Thomas the Tank Engine, but you can see him playing in the background, and he's sort of out of focus. It's a soft focus. So it becomes more about childhood and memory. It's not about the toy. It's about what is evoked around the toy at that moment. So it's telling the story. It's as simple as that.
We were nearing the end of the year when I noticed you started taking photos of the Christmas decorations.
Yeah.
And this is what I want to talk to you about, what it is like to suddenly start taking multiple pictures of the same subject matter, because obviously a lot of us have taken, once you start doing the Christmas tree, you start, oh, better take another picture of the tree,
Yeah.
What just using the decorations as an example, what makes you revisit the same subject?
Well, to sort of riff on what you're saying, okay, so it's hard not to do Christmas trees like everybody has done before, but you and I were just talking about how beautiful we are in the location here. What was really hard for me was taking a Winterlude picture in February, because I'm standing on the Mackenzie King Bridge looking at the Parliament buildings with the skaters on the canal thinking, how the heck can I take this picture so nobody's taking taken it before?
Right.
The answer is, I can't. But you know what? I still want to have it in my personal collection. So that's the justification that starts going on. Okay, so everybody takes a picture of their Christmas tree, but this was my Christmas tree in 2009, and oh yeah, that's the year that this happened or whatever. So it's the evocation of the memories that's more important than the actual what's in the frame.
It's interesting that that person gave you the feedback on the Thomas the Tank Engine shot, and that stuck with you.
Really,
hugely. How much did the comments of others? And I don't know whether anyone was really negative with you or not. But
you know what? Not at all.
So that's encouraging.
That helps.
But what effect did the comments have on the project?
Very much. You know what? I can't say that people were always kind, but especially in the crowd on Flickr, I would get constructive feedback, which would at first make my hackles stand up. What do you mean I could improve upon this shot? It was perfectly fine. And then I would, but of course, you take that step away and realize it's not personal. And more often than not, they're right. So you take that into account the next time. So yeah, it's totally a learning experience.
I'm probably always going to be haunted by the shot that you have of the rat being fed to the python.
That's Ray's Reptiles, yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Again,
for that.
Speaking of three little boys, you know?
Yeah. So mostly was it the kids who were guiding you for
Absolutely.
In terms of subject matter?
Well, largely. I mean, you know, there's one of the dominant themes became fingers and toes because I have a 2-year-old and, you know, the chubby fingers and toes, I'm naturally drawn to them. So yeah, when in doubt, there's always, you know, you can go always take a picture of the dog. People love pictures of the dog. People love cute kid pictures. So, and it's not like I was doing it for other people, but when I look back on this project 30 years from now, what am I going to care about? Am I going to care about the picture I took of the Parliament building, or am I going to care about the picture that I took of my three boys laughing together? That's a no-brainer.
I guess when you finish a project like this, there are some people that would take that camera strap off their neck, put it away, and say, okay, I'm never going to touch this again. What happened to you?
I finished on Wednesday. Actually, I finished on Tuesday, but I can't count. So I did a project 366 instead of a project 365. It's a different tangent entirely. The hardest part of the whole project was counting to 365. But I did. So I finished on Wednesday. And on Thursday morning, I went to go to work, started putting my shoes on, went back into the kitchen where the camera happened to be, and grabbed it. And my husband looked at me and raised his eyebrows. I said, I can't leave the house without it. I feel naked without it.
Huh.
Passed a couple of days without really taking any serious pictures and realized that I really did miss it. I missed it when I missed the process of having the picture and thinking about the picture and whatnot. So now I've decided that I'm going to do a second project, sort of enveloping the Project 365, and I call it the 1,000 Picture Project because I need a project. The project gives me focus, gives me something to do, and I'm going to see how long it takes me to get to 1,000 pictures.
So 1,000?
Well, you know, I'm already a third of the way there. So
true, hey.
And if it takes me 5 years, if it takes me 3 years, however long it takes me.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to seeing what comes up next, and you know, hopefully your husband will forgive you about the whole chandelier situation.
I think so.
Maybe there won't be too many more top-down moments, but Danny, thanks for coming in.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Danny Donders, local blogger, and you can view her Project 365 at Danny Girl, that's DaniGirl.ca.